let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. William and Tibby Forever by Linda Hamblin is an uplifting cat's tale about life that never ends and love that never dies. It tells of a cat's view of life on Earth and in heaven. The book is a story of William and Tibby, two cats nurtured by a compassionate woman, and their learning experiences that shape their characters. Follow William and Tibby as they learn together that life is a treasure box that holds joys and sorrow, laughter and tears, and loss and discovery. Linda lives with her husband and her cat Elvira in a small gray house on a hill on a farm outside Union City, Tennessee. Having lived a life blessed with cats, she decided to write a novel about a cat's view of life, heaven, and eternity. She's a published poet and essayist, but William and Tibby Forever is her first novel. Linda Hamblin, author of William and Tibby Forever, our guest on This Week in America. Hi, Linda. Welcome to the program.
Hello. How are you doing?
I am doing fine and looking, as a cat lover, looking forward to talk to you during the program.
Okay.
About,
that's great.
About the book William and Tibby Forever. Such a wonderful job you did with this. Before we talk specifically about the book, tell me a little bit about yourself, because as a writer, you're a little bit different than how they tell you to go about this. They always tell you, you know, set aside side every day, sit and write. When you had the time, you wrote and you did it so well. Talk about your background and your interest in writing.
Well, I'm a former English teacher, English and French teacher, and I retired at 42. I had a chronic illness, and I had tried writing off and on before I retired, but I was short of time, taking care of a house and children and a husband, and after I retired, I devoted more time to writing than I had before, but and I still, you know, I'm a little short in time having all the house responsibilities, but I write whenever I can, and I've written stories, poems, essays, and I had two novels already started when my cat William died, and I was thinking on the way back from burying him in my cat cemetery on the creek bank, as hard as this was for me, and I was in my early 50s, as much as I knew about life after death and heaven, how much harder it must be for a child to face the finality of death and what that really means. And so I wanted to write a children's book and show William and Tibby and me on Earth, and then William dying and going to heaven, and his adventures there, and our lives continuing, and then one day he looks up, and Tibby comes to heaven, and one day he looks up, and I'm there. But I sat down to write it, and before I even had finished the first chapter, I hadn't even gotten to William yet, so I knew that I had a novel instead of a children's book
yes,
on hand,
yes.
And that's how I came to write it.
The book is called William and Tibby Forever by Linda Hamblin, our guest on the program. That's H-A-M-B-L-E-N. You'll find the book available at Amazon, readersmagnet.com, and at Linda's website, williamandtibbybook.com. All of that on our website. You can go there and link on directly, get information on the book. Tell us about the process of writing this book. You mentioned there this started off a children's book, and all of a sudden you realized after a couple of chapters this is going to be a lot more than that. And it took you a while to write the book. Talk about that process.
Well, it took me a while to write the book because at the time I had some health problems myself, and then some other people in my family, my mother and father, had health problems, and my sister. So I spent a lot of my spare time helping them. So literally, I wrote at night whenever I had the chance. But I just kept plugging away at it and plugging away at it. And I had the book pretty well finished after, this sounds terrible, after 10 years. But then my cat, Elvira, who is one of the characters in the book, and she's the little tortoiseshell cat on the cover of my book, she developed bone cancer. And I thought, you know, I need to put this experience in the book, because my book is about what life is like for people in general, and people are confronting illnesses all the time, unexpected illnesses like a virus. And so I had to go back and rework the middle, and that took about 3 or 4 years. And so it took me about 15 years to write it. And then trying to find a publisher, and it was a very arduous process, too. So it took me almost 20 years to write it, but I got it done.
It's interesting because so often you finish a book and there's elation that I finished, and then the reality, okay, what do I do now? I need to get it published and have people read it. And that that's sort of the reality, like, okay, now I have to be a businesswoman and go about figuring out how I'm going to get this published. It's
that
interesting.
That is exactly right.
Well, over the course of the 15 years, because you had life that occurred, it'd be pretty easy just to say, okay, this was not meant to be. But it really was meant to be, wasn't it? This was really a book you wanted to write.
Yes, I wrote it for myself. I wrote it for myself starting out to help assuage my grief with William's death. And then once I started it, I got such joy from writing my memories of William and then the experiences of Tibby and Elvira. I got Elvira to help Tibby contend with her grief for William, because she wasn't eating, she wasn't playing, she was just looking out the window all the time waiting for William to come back. So I immediately went and got another cat named Elvira, and that took Tibby's attention away from William and gave her something else to think about. And of course, all that is detailed in my book.
Yes.
And I just kept on going. And I wrote an inspirational book. You know, I didn't sit down and say I'm going to write an inspirational book, but it turned out to be that way. It's a book, as one of my friends described it, it's a book full of hope and humor. And I think that's a pretty apt description of the book.
Well, it really does. And the book is William and Tibby Forever. Linda Hamblin, the author, is our guest on the program. Amazon, readersmagnet.com, williamandtibbybook.com is Linda's website. What's interesting is if you were to say this book is just for cat lovers, you'd be wrong, wouldn't you? Because this really has broad appeal. The message, the themes that you deliver, they're designed for all of us.
Yes, I think so. I think so. Yes. Yeah. There's even dogs in the book. Dog lovers, you know, they might like the book. You know, but basically, anybody who wants a realistic story about family love, the love of a mother for her children, a man for a woman for her cats, and it's just a basic, realistic, as I said, realistic story of family love.
I mentioned in the beginning, joys and sorrow, laughter and tears, loss and discovery.
Yes.
There's really something there for everybody in the book, William and Tibby Forever. The audience is basically anybody that enjoys a good book. And as you're reading it, you're entertained by the story, you're captured by the story, but you do a lot of thinking as well. So it really serves a number of purposes. How is the book to write for you? You have several cats, William and Tibby Forever, in the book. Was it difficult to go back and talk about the death of these cats? Because
it wasn't, which that sounds kind of callous. But at that point, I had gotten to where I could look at it from a distance and be objective.
Yes.
The only hard part to write was at the end. I have I wrote about an abandoned cat named Griselda, and whose family moves off and leaves her, and she has to fend for herself. And that was hard to write. That was the hardest part of the book to write. But I did it because I thought that was an important issue to address. And that was the hardest part.
Well, that it certainly is. The book is so well done, William and Tibby Forever. You identify this novel as an inspirational fantasy. I love that genre, that categorization. Tell me a little bit about why you put it in that category and came up with that category.
Well, inspirational is that it gives hope for people. It's inspiring to read because, like it says, for every ending in your life, there's always a beginning, something different, something new. So don't stay bogged down in grief and regret. It's inspiring to look at and say, oh, Elvira has cancer. What's going to happen? Well, she manages it, and I manage it. So I call it an inspirational, as I said, because it's a book full of hope. There's always something better on the way. And in the end, everything turns out all right anyway. If you are a believer in life after death, in the end, it's going to turn out all right. And, of course, I called it fantasy because the part about heaven, my concept of what heaven is like, may not be everyone's concept, but it is a fantasy of what I think heaven is like. Nobody knows really what heaven is like, so I called it it's a fantasy, but it's a good fantasy.
It really is. William and Tibby Forever. In the book, it's a cat's view of life on earth and in heaven. Do you consider yourself a Christian writer?
No, I don't. I don't. I have never sat down and written anything of this theme. I write stories and poems that are, I guess you would say, they have Christian values, but not overtly a Christian message. And it's not really just Christian. It applies to anyone of any religion who believes in life after death.
Yes.
For instance, I didn't give God a name. I don't talk about Jesus. And I did that deliberately because I didn't want to limit it. I wanted anyone, as I said, of any religion, to take inspiration from this book. That, you know, there are hard times, but in the end, we all end up in the same place, in a happy place.
Linda Hamblin is our guest. Linda is L-Y-N-D-A, Hamblin, H-A-M-B-L-E-N. I mentioned the books that you've written before, this book that we're talking about, William and Tibby Forever. What are you working on now? Do you have another project you're working on?
Well, I have several short stories that I haven't completed that I want to go back and work on that. And as I said, I have two novels I had started and gotten three or four chapters on when I decided to write William and Tibby, and I want to go back and restart on them. So I've got a lot on my hands. But the hardest thing is marketing the book. There are so many people writing books that to get your book noticed, no matter how good it is, you've got to work really hard at that. And that's taking quite a bit of my time. But I'm doing some writing.
Well, that's good. And I mentioned the published poet, essayist, and of course, the book we're talking about, William and Tibby Forever. You go back and forth with poetry in there. Where did that fascination with poetry come? Was that your first interest in writing, was poetry?
That was my first interest. And I started writing that after my husband and I got back from graduate school. He started a law firm, and I was his secretary for a while until I got another teaching job. And I would have, in this beginning, as a lawyer, he would have a lot of time. I would have a lot of time in the office. So I found it easier to write poems that I could finish, not finish, but work on like in 2 hours and put it away and come back to it. So that's how I started writing, and then gradually essays, and then I started working on two books, and then I started writing William and Tibby. And I've still been writing along the way, stories and poems and essays, but working on William and Tibby was my main focus. And now that I've got that done, I'm focused on marketing and still writing, so it's a complicated schedule.
Well, yes, it is.
Plus taking care of my husband.
Well, it's an interesting start in your husband's law office writing poetry. I bet he filed some very interesting motions written. And did you do any poetry? That would get the judge's attention.
I didn't type any in poetry, but I was writing along the side when I didn't have anything I had to do. Excuse me, I would write the poetry.
You know, it's interesting. A couple minutes left in the program. Aspiring writers, everybody is trying to get a tip, a clue on how to go about doing this. As I mentioned in the beginning, this was not the conventional route that they, you know, tell you in school that, you know, set aside the time and all of this. You wrote and you had real life going on at the same time. What advice do you have for aspiring writers out there? Because not everybody can set aside a chunk of time every day to follow
That's
their
right.
dream.
Well, my advice is you can join a writer's group, but you want a compatible writer's group. A constructive criticism is important. Then you can also take writing classes. That's really good. Buy a magazine that tells you about writing. That will help you learn about your publishing process, which can be a little complicated. But the main thing that you need to do is to read, read, and read. Read, if, particularly the kind of writing you want to do. If it's nonfiction, read nonfiction. If it's murder mysteries, read murder mysteries. Whatever kind of writing you want to do that you're drawn to, read that kind of writing. Then you have to write and write and write. And then after you get what you have done finished, you want to rewrite it and rewrite it and rewrite it. That's my basic advice.
How difficult is that to go back and rewrite and rewrite and rewrite? For so many people, once they get it done, they think it's done, and it's difficult to go back and fine-tune it. Any tips on how to do that?
Yeah, well, no, you just make yourself do it.
Yes, I
don't mind the rewriting part. I enjoy it, but I'm a former English teacher, so I have an eye out for grammatical errors and sentences that are clunky and don't sound right. So that's an enjoyable process for me. For some, it is a very arduous process, and I sympathize with them because not everyone has a degree in English, and that can be a problem for them, but they still shouldn't be discouraged from writing. And if it doesn't sound right to the ear, it is not right to the reader either. So you have to get it to where it flows, it's smooth, and after a while you get an ear for that.
It's sort of nice when you can almost be your own editor as well, isn't it? Somebody that you can
trust.
Yes,
I'm very lucky.
You can go back and you know the pitfalls and what to watch for.
Yes.
I mentioned working with Reader's Magnet on this project. That's a source where you can get a copy of William and Tibby Forever. What's it been like working with Reader's Magnet?
Oh, it's just been wonderful. If I call them and they're not available, they'll immediately call me back as soon as they are. If I email them, they email me back. They explain things very carefully, and if I have any questions, they answer them. They're just wonderful to work with, and they have really helped me market my book to channels that I would have never thought of. And they're more familiar with I don't do a lot of social media, so they're more familiar with the social media, and they help me with publicity on that part. And they're just real good, excellent. Excellent.
What is this like for you now? The book is finished, about 15 years in the making. So much of you personally has gone into this book with your recollections, your stories, your thoughts, your memories. What's it like for you now when William and Tibby Forever is out there and you're getting feedback, very positive feedback? What's it feel like today?
It makes me happy. And it makes me happy to know that people are reading that book and getting happiness and joy out of it, and learning about what wonderful creatures cats and dogs and all creatures are, and what a wonderful universe God created for us. And my book is not preachy at all, but it gives that's the impression you get as you read, at least I hope that is, and it makes me happy to know that this book is positive. It's a happy book. And right now we need some of that. We need some happiness and positiveness and hope.
Certainly need that. Just pick up a copy of William and Tibby Forever and put down the newspaper, and your life will be enriched. It will be a whole lot better after you've read this book. Again, our guest has been Linda Hamblin. If you're Googling that, that's Lynda, and Hamblin is Hamblen. Book is William and Tibby Forever. Her website is williamandtibbybook.com. You'll find it at Amazon, Reader's Magnet, the usual places. And if you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly. Linda, congratulations on the success of this book. It's touching a lot of people in a very positive way. Congratulations on that. Good luck with any projects you're working on. Hopefully we'll be able to do this again. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Well, thank you for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
It has been our pleasure. Linda Hamblin. The book is William and Tibby Forever. Information, of course, on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.